Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hear ye, hear ye. Gather round, all ye NFL enthusiasts. It's time to pump up those biceps and flex those beautiful football brains because the Swolecast is here. That's right. We'll be answering questions such as, has the king been dethroned there in Tennessee? And also analyzing the top picks with our very own guest, the one and only Lord Reeves. So sit tight, buckle up. It's the Swolecast and RotoGrinders.com.
Can you hear the static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm cool with that. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto dunes, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
I put no research into this. Don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show. You know me. I don't do a ton of research before the show.
Bro, live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
All right, welcome to the Swolecast. David Kitchen here, a.k.a. Soccer Dave. We've got Davis Matic, we've got Peter Overzet, and our regular co-host, Dan Gasper, a.k.a. Mr. Tuttle05, is too busy shipping random DFS contests and picking his favorite Russian tennis players. So, in his stead, we have Lord Reeves. Rich Reeves.
Do you know what we don't have? A single tweet from any accounts promoting this show. No tagging Reeves, no tagging any of us. So, no one knows this show is happening.
There was a tweet. I saw a tweet. From Sosa. It might not have tagged us, but I think it was like maybe even yesterday or something. Or maybe maybe it was just the YouTube video link was up. But Sosa, can you work on that so that we can do that?
Sosa, could you literally do your job?
Sosa has had it rough today. He actually had to come into the office today. So yeah. Tough scenes for him, and so I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack for having to actually appear in the office. Graham Bateson says, can confirm zero tweets. That's okay, because, you know, a lot of the diehards, they are already in the chat.
They got notifications on, just like people have notifications on for Soccer Day tweets. They have noties on for when we go live, obviously.
That's right. Let's make some lemonade here. This is why you want to subscribe to the channel to turn on notifications, because if for whatever reason we don't send out a tweet, you want to get notified that we're on. So with that being said, welcome everybody. How was your draft experience, Reeves?
It was good. Before we get into it, I got to say, because I assume you're in the office too. You've got nothing on your walls yet. I was there. In January, yes. February, actually, I was in those offices and perused the fine halls of the new Roto-Grinders digs. And, you know, I was going through buckets of merch. Dan said, take whatever you want. And I said, man, look at this Roto-Grinder stuff. It's not really jumping out to me. But then I found this beauty.
Oh, wow.
Holy cow.
Yes.
What a plot twist.
This gem right here. And I said, I got to have this collector's item.
We had our very own unboxing, except it was unclothing. Very. This is how we get to 10K. We have our guest.
It just so people realize kind of what that implies, and it's that the only way to get a Swolecast shirt is to pillage the office on your own. Literally the only way to get one.
Not true. It's not true. We've got someone that helps to ship. So I actually want to tell people there's a few people that are going to get shirts, and we're going to check in with them to see if they got their shirts.
Totally.
So, if you are... User Dietrich Goebel, he said, great show, shirt! This guy gets a shirt, DM the Swolecast account. And
it's gonna go poorly.
And Anthony S. says, what if Bumper Pool wore a Swolecast shirt to the first round of the draft?
Bumper Pool?
Did he even get drafted?
We didn't follow up on that.
I don't think he got drafted.
Undrafted. Twitter would have signed the Panthers as an undrafted free agent.
Twitter would have told us during the draft if Bumper Pool was drafted. Like,
yeah, people were locked into the linebacker takes on the Swolecast for sure.
Yes.
Dave, let's do Overzet's overview first.
I appreciate that, Davis, because Dave always forgets to throw.
I was about to try and get in the.
I would have gone to it last week, but you didn't have it, so.
He's got that dog in him. What? He's got that dog in him. What? Overzet's overview. Come on.
Okay, I'm hyped. The producer, the producer tipped that one off to me. Shout out to Rob and the team for the intro here. My name is Peter Overzet, and this is. Indeed, Overzet's overview of the week, a tent pole segment here on the Swolecast. Tuttle is still out, as you guys can notice. He's recused himself from the show going forward, but he did pass along a statement for me to read. It says here, dear Swolecast Nation, I know you guys are all anxiously awaiting my Quintus Cephas takes, but I no longer feel comfortable on this show as a winning DFS player. I'll return when my heater ends. Sincerely, Tuts. I didn't even know he referred to himself as Tuts, but I guess he does.
He does.
In other news, David Kitchen posted a pretty funny video over the weekend. Steven, do you have this?
Just got done with a soccer game. Got a Jeremiah's Ice sugar cookie. And find out the Titans draft Will Levis. And also they interviewed him and the physical. And this is breaking news. They found a large, inoperable chip on his shoulder. And it's staying there. Tighten up.
This was pretty good. I mentioned on Twitter he should have had a longer pause after inoperable to really sell the chip on the shoulder joke. But 135 likes, Dave, last I checked. Easily your most.
That's got to be a record.
Hey, check out my SoundCloud. Check out the link in my SoundCloud.
I mean, by far the most successful piece of content you've had since the Dairy Queen fleet 14 years ago. So congratulations, Dave, of finally going mini viral. And you know what? I was trying to triangulate the success. And I don't even think the common denominator here is you, Dave. I really just think it's frozen treats is kind of the key to your success. All right. The draft. We had some big news here. When his beloved Kansas City Chiefs, Dallas Cowboys selected Short King sensation Deuce Vaughn, Davis Maddock reportedly cried tears of joy.
Facts.
At 5'6", he's the shortest person to ever appear on the Swolecast. That's Davis Maddock. And lastly, I want to apologize to our guest, Lord Reeves, for all of the dumb questions Kitchen is about to ask you. Back to you, Dave.
All right. Thank you, Pete. I really appreciate that. The video, oh man, I don't know how you guys do it that get like all sorts of likes and like dopamine all the time with that. It's like, after 10 immediate, like the first
after
10 likes,
10.
I was like, whoa, this is blowing up. And like, just to scroll and see more people liking that tweet and that it worked out. I think really the common denominator is me posting videos. We'll see.
Keep the content coming, Dave. We need it.
Yeah.
People like that video content. All right, let's get inside your head, Dave. You see the Indianapolis Colts select Anthony Richardson, a Greek god at four. What's your Thursday night vibe like? Like what's the feel inside the kitchen castle?
I mean, Thursday night, I got together with a few of my normie friends, home league friends, and watched the draft, thinking something sexy was about to happen. Like the Titans were reportedly moving up to draft either Stroud or Richardson, and then it was like so vanilla. It was so just the Houston going 2 and 3 was fine, but when Stroud and Richardson went, it was just like all the air kind of went out of my sails. I hate that Indy has Richardson. I hate it. And so I'm in this thing where I don't like the Colts. I'm not a Colts guy. And I know you don't root for laundry. Some people don't, but I do. And then Stroud will be fine. That was okay. We drafted a lineman. Day two, you know, when I was at the soccer game and they draft Levis, I kind of wanted that to happen from a entertainment standpoint. And the reason I say this is because it seems like 70 to 80% of Titans fans did not want Will Levis. Like, were disgusted by the pick. And
are you sure it wasn't just because you wanted a reason to start putting mayonnaise in your coffee?
No. I think it's because a large number of Titans fans are also like Tennessee Vols fans, which are the worst college fans in the nation. And so they like can't wrap their mind around a UK guy that did not have a lot of success last year for Kentucky being the future franchise quarterback. So that's kind of where it is. And then the third rounder was Sharp. That's fine. Cartilage doesn't matter with running backs. You know, they say running backs don't matter, but really it's like knee cartilage does not matter because running backs don't matter.
Reeves, what are you doing with Sharp in these rookie drafts that we're all about to start on Monday? Like what? How do you, like, obviously handcuffed to Derrick Henry in a year where the Titans might just be terrible feels pretty valuable, but like not having an ACL also seems like an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I wish cartilage, you know, didn't matter. But like, have you ever gotten like one of those really bad like chicken wings that's like you get the drum and it's like half cartilage on the top and you can't even eat it? You're like, you know, that's, we don't have to worry about Tajay Sharp. If we cut him into some wings, he's gonna be good to go, man. It's gonna be lean, no cartilage at all. We don't have to worry about it. For Dynasty and like kind of outlook, like all we care about the short term is anyways, right? Like
he's
trying to project Tajay Sharp to be good in 2029. We only care if he's going to be useful in these 4 years the Titans got him, right? And potentially next year without Derrick Henry on the roster if it does happen to come by. So that's all we really care about. It worked out for Jay Ajayi for a couple of years in the second round as rookie picks.
Like if it you did. I kind of forgot about that.
You got Jay Ajayi in the second round. Like, he was a certifiable hit. Like, his career wasn't long. It was short-lived. But that mid-second round, like, especially in the context of this class, like, sure, man. Why not?
It also kind of solidifies that this is King Henry's last go-around as a Titan.
We're also calling him Tajay Sharp, right? He's Tajay Spears.
Yeah. Who said Sharp?
I don't know why I got on that.
Oh my God, Tajay Sharp. Do you remember Tajay?
We got on Tajay Sharp.
I'm pretty sure I said Sharp. I'm pretty sure it was me.
Tajay Sharp was both a Titan and then signed a reserve contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's a rare intersection of Dave and I's, overlapping interests. Also, by the way, Dave, the horrible reverb that everyone's hearing, it's coming from you, sir. We got to fix your microphone.
All of us are echoing because of how you have your setup.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there we go. Nope, still happening.
All right, well, we'll fix it.
This is
think about the Tajay Spears stuff, too. It's like everyone talks about the ACL, but are the Titans the only people in the entire world that didn't get that memo? Like, they apparently did a little research on the guy they selected, right?
Well, Vrabel very famously said that he would chew his own penis off to win a Super Bowl. So maybe he's like, well, Tajay Spears already chewed his kneecap off to get drafted by us. So who cares?
right.
Will Levis and Mike Vrabel, honest to God, I do actually feel like it's like these guys are going to just totally vibe with each other. Like Levis seems like he's a bit unhinged, and Vrabel is definitely unhinged. Like I don't know. And what are they going to do with Tannehill? I mean, Reeves, can we get Tannehill to Atlanta to give us some competent quarterback play for Pitts and London and Bijan?
Yeah, I mean, it's rough, man. It's got to be a bummer, though, if you're the Titans, like a Titans fan, and seeing, like, you know, obviously the Jags got Lawrence, and it looks like he's coming into the billing that he was kind of set up for and was anointed coming out of college. And now you see Stroud get drafted and Anthony Richardson, who could be just like this machine, you know, playing the quarterback position. And you're just hoping that, like, Will Levis, or well, we can't count Malik Willis, but, like, you know, Will Levis, like, Will Levis just, like, takes and puts away all these just red flags. I was on Ship Chasing, like, a month ago before the draft, and, like, I did, like, a burial dance on Will Levis. So, like,
I think this dude is awful.
So
it's been ingrained in my head every time he was free throughout, like, the big board drafts, and I'd click him and be like, Reeves is just, like, leering down over me, just shaking his head.
Yeah, I mean, because the negative play stuff, like that stuff that transitions the NFL, it's sticky. I mean, you look at Will Levis, he was sacked on 30% of his pressures. It was the highest rate of any quarterback in this draft class. For context, Anthony Richardson was only sacked on 10% of his pressures. I have a long thread. We're not getting a bunch of stats on this show, but I have a long thread that talks about why sacks are important to drives and they're killers. Then, you know, Will Levis led this class in red zone interceptions. Like, we're asking a lot, man, to strike lightning in a bottle in a division that literally just saw three teams get quarterbacks in the top two picks or top four picks of the last three drafts.
Yeah. He's got an uphill climb. I mean, my guess.
And the king is going to maybe be off the team. Like, what are you going to do when Derrick Henry is not on the team and you're building this new $2 billion stadium and you're funding for the
That's such a it's such a key part of Dave's identity. I'm very curious what the future of this show will look like when it's a Will Levis led team without Derrick, like Derrick Henry's like getting 2,000 yards a season for the Eagles. Like,
this
Dave,
show will not be running by the time Will Levis becomes a starting quarterback. That could either be an indictment of this show or Will Levis.
It's like they drafted Malik Willis. Not going to work out. Drafted Will Levis. If he doesn't work out, they'll just draft somebody else. I mean, my thing is Tennessee is in this conundrum of they're not good enough to be great, not bad enough to be like bad to get a like you can't tank for Caleb Williams when you play the Texans and the Colts twice every year. Like they almost beat the Chiefs last year with a pretty good defense with Malik Willis at quarterback who only threw the ball like five times. Like they're going to get some cheap wins and they can't be bad enough to get Caleb Williams. So what are you going to do?
Well, the Cardinals are probably going to get him because they have two cracks at it, right? their pick and Houston's pick. Like,
so that's the thing. The only two, there's like two teams, I think two or three teams worse than the Titans as far as Super Bowl odds. One is the Colts. The other is the Texans. And if the Texans are a bottom two team or bottom three team, that Cardinals pick is,
I mean, this Will Anderson pick, even not knowing the results already, is like the worst trade in modern NFL history.
So bad.
But it has the potential to be like when Caleb Williams becomes the next Mahomes, like it's got potential to just be a true, true all-timer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't understand what the Texans like direction has been like under Casero. Like, you know, you hire two patsy head coaches that are in and out. Like you just sign like a bunch of vagabonds, like guys that are basically like hanging on like NFL bottom feeding roster to 1 year contracts for like the last couple years. Like, what are they really building?
They were building onto this to Stroud and trading their future for Will Anderson.
And did you buy the rumor that it was like there was division between like the front office and the coaches who they wanted to draft? And they said, let's just split the difference and go get both of them. And that was like their elegant solution to that. I heard
that's
that
not,
somewhere.
That's
and it like kind of makes sense.
Is that
why
real?
Else would you spend?
It's sort of the only way I can make sense of the trade that they did, honestly. Like I could see ownership being like, we got to get a quarterback. And I could see D'Amico Ryans being like, I just want Will Anderson, bro. Like I don't care about these quarterbacks. I'll win with Davis Mills, we'll be biting people's ankles, you know?
What was your favorite first or second round pick? Either from whatever angle you want to look at it at.
Addison to the Vikings is the best for fantasy, I think. No, Laporta to the Lions, because that was unexpected.
I gotta give Reeb shout out, because we asked him for like a sleeper wide receiver on Ship Chasing when he was on, like, what was that, like 6 weeks ago, 2 months? And you tossed out Jaden Reed. I don't think I'd ever even heard his name uttered before you said that. And then he gets second round draft capital to the Packers. So that was a pretty sick call.
He was like one of the only early declares of the whole class. It was like no one was an early declare, and he's really young.
No, he was not an early declare, because
he was a 5 year guy?
He was a transfer.
Was it Tyler Scott who was an early declare?
Yeah, he was a transfer.
Okay. 3 year, 5 year, what's the difference? Just a couple years. Reebs, what was your favorite?
Jaden Reed.
What was your favorite pick?
Yeah, I love seeing Jaden. I didn't even expect. I was hoping he would like go round three and then, you know, basically get picked at what, 50 overall. That was a nice, pleasant surprise. Now we have to worry about Jordan Love, you know, being able to support multiple targets. And they also added Luke Musgrave too, kind of in that same area of the draft, but definitely pleasant to see him kind of go up there, feel vindicated a little bit. Addison, I think, is the most obvious, like, for landing spot, because he was kind of like a fragile archetype, right? Like,
yep.
Does he get like say the Giants draft Jordan Addison, like
he's dead.
Basically expected to be their lead wide receiver, right? Like, and he doesn't really profile as lead wide receiver, but being able to just kind of get in that Kevin O'Connell system, have Justin Jefferson clear stuff out for him, like, just a great fit, man. Adam Thielen was second in the NFL in pass routes run last year. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
He just gets to be Thielen.
It's just not be as dusty as Thielen, and, like, he's got a pretty great opportunity in front of him. I will say, like, it was surprising. The Gibbs thing was the most surprising thing.
Yes.
We were doing draft videos, like, live, and, like, they were divvying him up like the fantasy guys were to me. And Ray dropped in the Slack, because, like, I'm on a stream. He's like, Gibbs just went. And I was like, what? And I'm like, what? And he's like, dude, you got to do a video on Gibbs. And I was like, what the hell am I going to say? Like, this, none of this makes any damn sense, like, what it is. And then, but what a nut run out for him to not only get the kind of draft capital, which is the number one indicator for fantasy points years 1 through 3 at running back.
Yep.
And then have just the run out of going to the Lions, who throw a ton of their running backs already, 21% of the time last year. Having DeAndre Swift get traded. Jameson Williams is suspended the opening 6 games. We love Laporta, but he's a rookie tight end. Like, it was just a nut run out for Jahmyr Gibbs, man. And I feel bad, because I was kind of lower on him than the market coming into the NFL draft. And Same. Now I missed anything of the spike. I missed all the spike because I was below market before.
Yeah. Peter, what was your favorite pick?
My favorite pick. Just like holistically, Dave, or from a fantasy lens?
I said it's dealer's choice. You get to choose if it's from like a background story that you're really connected to.
I'll do this from something you would accuse me of doing, of pumping my own bags with stuff that can't be changed retroactively. But right. I was taking a shit ton of, sorry to the kids, Devin Achane or Achane, depending on how Davis
Achane.
Achane.
Wait, is this a bit?
It's
for, this is our bit on ADP Chasing. Is every show we say his name in a different way?
Right. But did it start out as no one knew it, or
no one knew? Okay. No one had heard it out loud when we started the show. Yeah.
So I was very happy, because I think he got, you know, the nut landing spot, you know, for any of those like non, you know, Gibbs and Bijan running backs. Like, the Dolphins depth chart is just wide open. And Shanahan, I think you can tell yourself a good story for the ceiling case for him in year one there. So I was pretty excited about that.
I'm laughing at Mike Robb says, anyone getting a low budget porn background from Kitchen?
Oh, you need
background?
A black couch.
That's every time.
So there will be stuff behind me, like shelves and nice, you know, RGB lights eventually. So Dan says he's in the PC office, actually 2 offices down from Dan, so hopefully not. But yeah, as far as my favorite pick, I think it was the Gibbs, obviously, just because the Lions are so – it's just like your buddy's fantasy – it's like your buddy – who loves fantasy, and he became the GM of the Lions. Like, the way that they were pounding the table, like, he was still there at pick 12.
Yeah, these post draft quotes are just, it's such beautiful cell phoneage, because they realize
Brad Holmes got to stop talking, man.
Like, everyone's laughing at them, and they're like, actually, no, it makes sense, because he's actually a wide receiver. He's going to. just make the pick. If it's who you wanted, whatever, deal with the consequences later on.
Yeah. The other option would be Dalton Kincaid.
Are you farming right now? Are you hoping Liam pops in?
No.
I think this Kincaid landing spot is like pretty bad for him year one. I think he's barely gonna play.
Barely gonna play. Go on. I'm interested in this.
So there's no out in Dawson Knox's contract until after 2024. They were one of the lowest teams in 12 personnel usage in the entire NFL the whole time McDermott has been the coach. You know, they take shorter as the Gabe Davis, hoping they get something there so they don't have to pay Gabe Davis. He only played 1 year of high school football. He didn't do any athletic testing. He's been injured.
Watch Utah last year, bro?
I get it.
12 personnel is just a social construct when he's a wide receiver. Like, he's basically a glorified wide receiver. Like,
I mean, I'm always open to adjusting my priors, and maybe they just use him full time as a slot wide receiver, but it feels like a big bet. I mean, he's already going as like the tight end 12 on Underdog. It's quite rich.
Yeah. Anyone saying that their excuse is 12, that they're limited in number of snaps and 12 personnel last year, does not understand the thesis of the play. Reeves, are you with me here?
I can't believe they didn't get Quentin Morris on the field for more snaps
That's fair. It's fair.
But I will say, Kincaid, I was like 1 foot in, 1 foot out on for the process because he's a little older. He's going to be a 24-year-old rookie. He's got a back injury. He also is kind of got a little bit of like Mike Gesicki to him, where like Mike Gesicki was an elite athlete though. And like, it's one thing when you're like, you're torching dudes at Utah, and we didn't get any athletic testing from Kincaid. So I do think there is some fragility there that maybe he's not cooked in outside of just the dude's going to run with Josh Allen, but I think Dave said, he's basically going to be their slot receiver. I think he'll probably be because Dawson Knox was in the slot, 45% of the time the last 2 years. So we can get Kincaid those snaps. He's going to probably be over 50%. The question is just how much is there? Are we going back to Gabe Davis and best ball? That's the real question. We doubled down, right?
I'm glad that you asked this because, as you know, we are on the road to 10K and we want this to be an interactive show. And someone asked the question, what's the lowest rookie you would draft for Gabe Davis in Dynasty, Reeves?
Wait, the lowest rookie I would take?
Where would you take Gabe Davis in a Dynasty rookie draft, I think, is the better way to ask that question.
Sure, yeah.
I think, honestly, probably right around where Jaden Reed's going to go, right? I think in that area.
Yeah, mid to late second.
Easily take in this draft class, like if someone wants a mid two in this draft class, but I'll take Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to give a shout out to Dan Bach for the over 3.5 wide receivers. We gave that free 3-unit play out live on this show last week, and boy, did it hit. I was a little bit skeptical, though, on night one that it would hit because...
Well, there was only one night. It's just one night. And if the first round's just one night. It's about four hours.
This year was like seven, it felt like.
When JSN fell to what, pick 20 or 21? 20. Like, when there wasn't a wide receiver in the first 20 picks, I thought they were cooked. And then it took like... It was like your fantasy draft where one receiver gets taken and there's just a run on them where everyone wants it. So... thoughts on the first round wide receivers, Pete?
I was tailing Big Dan on that one. Yeah. Big time was sweating that as well. I'm on the side of I'm excited about the discount I'm hoping we get on JSN to the Seahawks, because it seems like a lot of people are worried about that landing spot. And I get the concerns early on, but obviously for Dynasty and same for like best ball where we're optimizing for the end of the season, like I still think JSN can be a smash. And like, I know people like Tyler Lockett, but JSN's going to dust Tyler Lockett by the end of the year. He's going to be on the field a ton. So I liked a lot of these landing spots for the wide receivers. Quentin Johnston to the Chargers is perfect. You guys already mentioned Jordan Addison. I guess the Zay Flowers one is kind of gross. But man, I love the JSN.
It's only gross if you think Odell Beckham. It's only gross if you think Odell Beckham is like an animate human being that can run routes for 17 games, which I don't really.
It's not even gross. I think Odell Beckham sucks. I think people are massively overdrafting him. But it's just how much is that offense going to throw? You know, could he do a Devin Duvernay impression for us in year one? Absolutely. But like, what is that worth?
I mean, yeah. If he just runs hot on touchdowns and plays, like, becomes like a full-time player, I mean, it's worth.
Yeah.
But you need Lamar to play much closer to what was his TD rate the MVP season? Like 9.5% of his throws went for touchdowns or something like that. I mean, it's got to be one of those type of seasons because he's never. I mean, it is crazy when you start doing the math. He's never thrown 400 passes in a season. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, Monken's not gonna turn the Ravens into like this team that throws the ball 600 times. Like, it's just not gonna happen. I think Flowers is interesting from a best ball perspective because where he wins, like coming out of school, like he was number one in this class, like in yardage, you know, created on double moves and like splash plays. And that was one of my big concerns about him as a prospect was how translatable is like stuff like that to the NFL. He wasn't really that great in terms of like against man coverage, in terms of objective data. Obviously, he had a shitty quarterback that was like Sean Clifford levels of when we were watching Jahan Dotson the year before. But he's just going to basically get to run deep routes like with the Ravens. So he's probably going to run into a couple long ball touchdowns. Maybe you get a couple spike weeks, but definitely from a dynasty perspective, it's not a great landing spot for him at all.
All right, let's reset things here. We got Lord Reeves with us from Sharp Football. Obviously, if you like what we're doing here, you know, kind of a post-draft show, no other fantasy football show is doing what we're doing, and that's kind of taking the NFL draft picks and then putting a fantasy spin on them, especially with best ball. So
I haven't really heard, like, do people even know they're allowed to do this?
Yeah, if you like, I'm sure there'll be some copycats, but if you like what we're doing, go ahead and smash that like button, that subscribe button. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. All right, I got some breaking news for you guys. Are you ready?
Uh-oh. Ooh.
We've got NFL best ball live on DraftKings.
As of about 45 minutes ago. Yeah.
$10 million.
One borked drafting interface.
So borked.
You guys say this, but I think there, and it, yes, it might be that, you know, out of however many entries, up, you know, 200,000 entries, I was 159th or whatever. But I think there is still some edge there. $10 million, $1 million to first. So a little bit better stuff there. And then a $1 million to first for a 555. The $10 million one is $10 entry instead of a $5 entry like it was last year. So they doubled the entry fee. Davis, thoughts on that? I know we can't go. We're going to let Pete. You know how like Kirk Herbstreit can't make picks for College Game Day?
I know where you're going with it.
Because he's calling that game. We're going to let Pete abstain from this question. But Davis, how are you feeling about this? Two huge best ball contests.
I mean, look, they're going to get my money. It is what it is because this is no longer, it's not a game about, you know, profitability or analyzing edge. It's just about chasing Corain. It's just about finding a way to get even with Pat Corain's $2 million. You can't get even with Pat Corain if you're sitting on the sidelines. We'll be trying to win this. We'll be trying to win the Drafters Championship. We'll be trying to win Best Ball Mania 4. I will be pounding my face into my phone screen, drafting puppies. You know, it is what it is, Dave. We gotta find a way to bring home some trophies and $1 million.
I think it's going to bring more Swolecast viewers as well because Sosa, can you write this down? I want to create a video. I think these videos would be sort of good. How I made the DraftKings best ball finals last year. And then let's create that video and just evergreen and let the views come in. Reebs, your thoughts on these best ball contests, how early they are, how big they are.
I'm excited. I couldn't play DraftKings best ball last year. I saw a lot of the teams, you know, I'm in a you know, non-humble brag in a text thread with Davis and Pat Thorman, and they're telling me all these guys they're getting at value because an underdog is underdog has ruined ADP for everybody.
ADP is so sharp.
There is no such thing as ADP. That's why you got to live a little.
Underdog is like way ahead on like the running back dead zone and like accounting for that. And like, I don't have fun over there. There's no fun over there. I'm like trying to get squeeze out a half round of value on a player. I want to get like three rounds of value on a player over at DraftKings. So I'm excited to go over there and play.
Hang on. I want to ask Davis a question on this whole, like, you know, optimizing for chasing Kerrane. I want to like figure out where this falls on your clout meter. What would you rather get? Second place in Best Ball Mania 4 for $1 million. You make it there, you get that. Or would you rather win two different DraftKings tournaments for $500,000 each?
First place, $500,000 each.
Twice over.
Yeah. I would take less money for first place for the ability to put winner of X, Y, or Z.
Okay, that's the better one. So you get set. Let's say
750,000.
Okay, 750, and a champ belt on DraftKings, or a million second place on underdog.
What's that equity worth of winning it?
Yeah, definitely the 750K, because I can use
Davis. You're not going to throw away 250,000. Come on.
I can use the first place as the marketing ploy, right? And that's that, and over a lifetime.
You think that's worth more than $250,000?
Over a lifetime, absolutely.
I think it might take a while to recoup that.
Yeah, no.
You gotta take the bird in the hand, Davis.
Take that 250,000 and you put it in Bitcoin and let that baby ride.
There's no way you're gonna work hard enough after that to get that 250,000 back.
Reeves does make a good point, but it's just
this guy isn't even turning in his work logs. gonna get paid.
Just you guys are underestimating the value of first place.
Yeah.
Just do what DB's on screen.
DB, I mean, this is the chess Liam thing where you just say, you know, I'm the first $1 million best ball winner. Now, what's interesting.
No, he's saying you can just say $1 million best ball winner. How I won $1 million on underdog. Yeah.
Doesn't it kind of feel like these people who are like, this is how I made my first million. Like it feels like sort of, I don't know. The first place just carries so much cachet. No. I feel like with the normies.
So you're now bringing in your own personal morals into the equation. Yeah. Give me the $1 million any day, all day. So, yeah. Okay.
Steven, pull up this screen share thing I have in the hopper right now because I want to show you. You could just do what Liam did. This was the title of Liam's video yesterday. Three-time Best Ball Mania champion. He just now was saying he won it three times.
Do what you want.
Just say whatever you want.
Well, technically, I mean, you know, he did win those two tournaments on DraftKings as well. So technically, he is a three-time Best Ball champion.
He is.
He said he had to go in and correct it. He blamed it on his editor, and it's like, Liam, we've seen your YouTube profile.
Liam, you don't have an editor. You don't have a thumbnail guy. You know, it's fine.
Well, this is how like different personalities are. You know, now we're getting to the psychology of things, but Tuttle is the exact opposite. I remember like for promoting stuff on Fantasy Insiders and then RotoGrinders.
He's horrible at it.
It's like, all right, Tuttles, how many live finals seats? Tickets do you have? How many live final events? And he's like, I don't want to mess with like counting all those up. And I'm like, it's for marketing, which, you know, you can't put like Tuttle, who doesn't even know how many live event finals he's been to, you know, X winner. Like Liam is going to be like whatever he gets into, I get it. You know, as a best ball finalist 2 years ago, as a best ball finalist last year, I understand it, where that value lies. So
Kitchen, what would honest, I think we even asked you this last year, like if you did get first place in one of these, let's say the prize was more than 500,000.
Yeah.
Would you like have a regular show on Spike Week for like programming? Like, how would you capitalize on this?
I would if Dan said like, I need you to do a show on Spike Week. And if you don't, you're fired.
But you wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, like that's not my bag, baby. Unless it was like a Swolecast Spike Week, you know, merger or whatever. Yeah, I mean, you guys know, people think that I'm like this kind of genius, but a lot of what I do is it's just second nature to me. It's just natural. You know, you see an athlete and he's like, he's a natural born athlete. That's kind of me with fantasy and DFS.
I know Reeves is taking $1 million. Reeves, zero question. Reeves doesn't care about clout. The clout matters none to him.
Nah, baby. I'll take the million.
What about you, Pete? You're going million over the clout?
For sure. Yeah. Davis, except here, you make your own clout. I don't need a title.
Pete's got clout. A family to feed now. The bit equity is not really a thing. All right.
You could start to push it in more extremes though, and try like, what would you rather have? Someone gives you $500,000 under the table. Just literally, someone writes you a check. You can never say like how you got it or why you got it. Or you win a best ball tournament for $400,000.
Oh, that's not even close. $400,000. Are you? You? I feel like you guys have a misunderstanding of who I am and what like what like gets my dopamine and my serotonin going. I'm so much of an external validation type person.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I got a son graduating high school in 20 days. I gotta get that extra 100K. I can't leave that on the table.
Reeves. I have no doubt. I have no doubt in my mind. Reeves is.
That's one year of college these days for sure. Yeah. let's pivot back to the your best ball drafts where you're drafting now. Like, who are the big move for Bo? Obviously, I know, but for those that might not be drafting. Who are the big movers up or down right now in best?
Oh, this is okay. This is way better than what Dave just suggested. This is a good game. Where does Dave think these players are going in best ball?
I love that.
Oh, that's a great bit. Okay.
All right. I will go first. Reeves and Peter, you think of one. David, on underdog.com, positional ADP and overall on the board, where he falls. Where do you think Trevor Lawrence is going?
Trevor Lawrence is going ninth round.
Trevor Lawrence is going at the back end of the fourth, early part of the fifth. He's 56th overall.
Not in this lifetime. Not for this guy. What happened to late round QB?
It's dead, buddy. Late round quarterback. Tua.
Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen killed late round QB.com.
I mean, there are five quarterbacks going in the top 30 picks.
Yeah.
That is insane. That really is insane.
All right, I'm going to do one. Kitchen, where do you think Derrick Henry, the big dog, is going in drafts?
This is good. And positional ADP. Like, where, like, what number running back is he?
Okay. I will say end of the second round and RB8.
Pretty good. His ADP's 27 right now, so early third.
And he's running back 9, but, like, just by a hair behind Breece Hall.
All right. Do you think that's like a round and a half discount of where he should be going, Dave?
Obviously. They got an offensive lineman, in case you guys haven't heard, in the first round. That's all he needed. So, all right. Rich?
Reeves, ask him one.
All right, I'm going to hit you with how about Calvin Ridley?
Ooh.
Oh, this is good. This is good. This Reeves getting to the heart of the game.
Okay. Well, if, you know, just taking deductive reasoning, if we have Trevor Lawrence going fourth or fifth, I would assume Ridley is going probably a little bit earlier so that you could pair him with it. So I will go seventh round.
Calvin Ridley is 36th overall. Wide receiver 17 on underdog.
Kitchen, you said, I thought you were on the right track. You said where Lawrence is going. I thought he was going a little earlier, then you said after him.
I was thinking RB
dead zone.
You
were setting it up so good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I was Kitchen, on the right track, though.
How many BBM4 teams have you drafted, Kitchen?
Zero.
Wow. Davis, how about you?
Five. I learned my lesson last year. I think I did 10 the night that it came out, and I was regretting, like, looking back on those teams, I was like, yeah, I mean, the winner was not there, right? So my plan is I'm gonna be doing like two or three of these DK ones a day for the next couple weeks. I'd like to get to like 75 DK ones by the end of the month or something. That way, when we have more data, more training camp stuff, I can really hone in on the underdog ones.
I think it's the opposite. You want to get the underdog stuff so then you can hone in on DraftKings.
No, there are only the sweatiest, grossest nerds drafting on underdog right now. Like it is.
Peter, how many drafts are you doing per day on underdog?
Well, Kitchen, I don't know if you've seen, but I'm famously committed to live streaming all 150 of my BBM4 drafts. So I'm six down. I need to be hitting. I think I need to be in like the 7 to 8 range weekly to hit my goal. Mm-hmm.
You have 127 days left, but it's going to close early. You know, it's not going to.
Yeah.
So we might end up having a few marathon sessions, a few marathon multi-table sessions if it comes to that.
Let me know if you want me on. Sosa says nearly 1,000 of you watching and we only have 34 likes. Please support us on the road to 10K. Do your part.
Reeves, what's your drafting plan? What's like how many are we going to run back our main events this year with the text thread?
Yeah, early on in these drafts now, I just try to get guys that like I see as like, you know, projected value, right? And like avoid
closing line value draft.
Yeah, I that's basically all I'm doing right now, and hopefully I can hit enough where it works out. I'm also someone, I don't play as many tournaments as you guys. I play a lot more leagues because the ROI is better. Instead of, you know, chasing.
See, this man gives no shits about the clout. It's all about the bottom line.
He gets it, though.
He's not chasing Karain. He's chasing that college.
Man. No, I mean, and listen, I don't want to tear down anyone's, like, you know.
Please do.
You know, equity of what they're doing in their as a content creator. But there's too much emphasis on playing these tournaments that's steering the general public into losing money. So I would say that needs to be out there for a lot of people. Like, you know, everyone's chasing that big payday, man. But I guess now that milk's like $8 a gallon, like, I don't know, like,
it's
you
true
gotta
that
try.
The corresponding, I mean, it's like, this is just true generally in society. Like, you got to gamble like a sick maniac or stay poor.
Yep,
like, those are your choices in Western society. So why not, you know, make Nick Rudman and everyone
Davis,
an underdog rich?
How much Pepe do you have?
I don't, you know, I don't do that. I don't do meme points.
All right.
Do you have Pepe coin, Dave?
What's that?
Do you have Pepe coin?
No. No, I was in the alt streets, deep in the alt streets, and I was lucky enough to get out. And so I'm not going back. I'm not going back to my Uniswap days. Although seeing like someone turn 0.25 ETH into $5 million is pretty cool. Reminds me of a Bored Apes that I paper handed. So not financial advice. Yes, thank you. So as far as biggest movers, do you guys want to answer that question now? Like, who's moving? Who you like?
Well, Anthony Richardson is a huge gainer.
I'm going to end up with none of him, man. I missed it at like the 130s. Now he goes in like the 90s of every one of my drafts, and he's going to end up at like pick 65 here in a week.
I mean, same thing with me with Gibbs, dude. I was below market and then just got – I missed out on all the spike.
How much higher are you on Gibbs than you were ever on Swift, if at all? Like, imagine yourself – last year, 2 years ago with Swift, how much higher are you on?
We should get – I'm very actually very curious on Reeb's 2023 Swift takes.
Well, Gibbs in general, still, I think where he's going to end up going is very fragile for his archetype, right? Like, he still is a guy that's going to have to run really hot in the touchdown department, because this is a guy that, unlike Austin Eckler in college, unlike Christian McCaffrey, who he actually almost got similar draft capital to, who's 202 pounds coming out of Stanford – those guys were workhorses on their college teams. Like, you go back to Stan, like, CMC had 600 touches the last 2 years, yep. You know. Gibbs was already a compartmentalized player at Alabama. Like, they pulled him in. He only had 3 of 16 carries inside the 5-yard line for Alabama. And he had the lowest rate of all running backs in this draft class on inside runs. So he still is going to have to score a lot of touchdowns this year. I don't think he's a guy we can just project to have over 200 carries. The thing is, though, He came out third in running back receptions in my first projections, like post-draft. Only Eckler and CMC with more catches. But the way he's going to have to punch up is to match those guys in touchdown equity, right? Like, is he going to have that? That's the one major question. And I think where he's going to spike to in best ball ADP, probably more – actually, he probably has more fragility in season-long ADP where you're setting him in a lineup every week. Because when you don't get those touchdowns, you're going to run leak. Because you don't want to have – what you don't want to have a scenario is where you have Gibbs at the end of the season and everyone's like, Gibbs was the RB10 in PPR. That didn't mean shit. It means you probably had a guy that gave you a bunch of floor weeks and didn't get hurt, right? Like to be the RB10 in full-point PPR. But like we want him to flirt with being able to like be the RB4, the RB3 in full-point PPR. And to get that, we're going to need that touchdown equity, which is probably the biggest question, you know, in year one. Is he going to get it?
Yeah. I think that's accurate.
Peter, your Bijan bags, where are they right now?
I think I was close to the field.
I think you actually predicted also that Bijan would go to the Falcons.
I would. That would be me.
No, I think it was
Peter. Literally everyone.
Helen Keller saw that coming.
No, Gretch
that
pushed
the
back.
Last...
Gretch pushed back on this so hard. When we did like a mock draft show. There were, he was never even minus money to go pick eight. He was like, the lowest I saw was like plus 150 to be pick eight. Because there were people, there was this, Reeves, you would know this better than I would, but there was the stat floating out there that this guy, I don't even know the name of the Falcons GM, but he had not taken a running back above like pick 100 in the last decade or something like that.
I mean, it's just so wild that NFL teams still do this, man. The Atlanta Falcons running backs last year led the NFL in rushing yards and yards per carry. Like, they can't go up. There's no – you can't go to zero. You can't go from one to zero. So, like, is Bijan going to take them, like, 1,000 yards over the next closest team? Like, it's so wild that we're still here having the same damn conversations and teams keep doing this. They were first. They were first in all rushing categories for running backs. You can't go higher.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's so bizarre.
And they passed on Levis.
That's right.
And so you've got, like, I know you guys were talking last week that Ritter's not the guy, but he could be the guy. They could be giving him a chance.
Nah, Ryan Tannehill is going to be reunite with Arthur Smith.
Is that
it's
why
gotta
you made
happen,
the
right?
trade with me, Davis, this morning?
Yeah, talk about this trade. The people want to hear about the kitchen, Matic, big dino
it's,
trade.
It's really not a very interesting trade. David's team is terrible. My team is getting there.
My team is
there,
way better than Davis's.
But I have a very, like, I just don't have very many players. It's one of these super, these best ball, super flex, tight end premium, 30-man rosters, and I had 19 players on my roster, so I traded 2 seconds to David for Tannehill, Tyler Boyd, John Mechie, Evan Engram, and Herb Smith Jr., just to have warm bodies who weren't getting me zeros every week. Now, obviously, Evan Engram and Herb Smith Jr. are, I mean, they're like favorites to start getting zeros very quickly, so kind of just betting on Tannehill getting a job.
I also traded Reeves. I traded him Justin Jefferson for Alave and a first.
Two firsts. Well, that leaves the 110 this year, which I don't know what who are you eyeing with that 110?
Yeah, David. What was your tell 110 you strategy?
I'll tell
Does
you
he
on
rhyme
next
with Mel Kevis?
I'll tell you on next week's show. But I've got 8 picks, I think, in the first 8 or 6 picks, maybe in the first 18 picks this year. And still have some young talent. So I like my team. Davis is in Titans territory where he's not good enough. He's not bad enough. So that's like the worst. That's like the worst spot to be in Dynasty. So T's and P's there.
Overall, there's a couple of really super teams in that league, though, that make it hard to.
That's it. It's like Britt Devine and Siege's team
So
gnarly.
Britt set up this other league to where our draft was on Saturday, literally started on Saturday. So I'm like
criminal offense,
right? Trying to coach games, and then like you're on the board, and then he'll rush you in the first round on Saturday before the draft is even completed, and then yet yesterday he was like holding the draft up in the fourth round or fifth round to see if anybody wanted to trade for an early fifth round pick, which is also
sounds on par brand for Britt.
Yeah. So he is like, He's making the leagues as painful as possible to get what he wants, to manipulate it to get what he wants, basically. It's like, so you don't want to have to deal with it. But overall, I'm going to be honest. I love last year's class. I don't love this year's class as much. So having like six picks in the eight in the top 18.
That's just like the really consensus belief, like to the point that I'm starting to be like, this is going to somehow end up being an all-timer class. Like no one wants to make picks after 106. So I'm just ready for like Sam Laporta to become Hawkinson, Dalton Kincaid becomes, you know, Mark Andrews or whatever, CJ Stroud smashing, Bryce Young. Like no one wants to make these picks.
Like, and in the past you've been able to find some, you know, there's at least been some options. I'm telling you, going through this first rookie draft, being in the fifth round, there's just not options. Like you're either looking at guys like Malik Davis, like Titans back or Cowboys running back backup that might not even make the roster this year, or some rando, you know, Kenny McIntosh type running back who might not even make the Seahawks squad. So it's gross out there after the third one, which, you know, typically it is, but it seems like it's even worse this year. Rich, have you done any rookie drafts?
Yeah, we do a few pre-draft. Demon one with Davis where we do pre-draft, and then we have a bunch that kicked off this week. And, I mean, everyone is telling you to trade for 2023 first, like for multiple years. And my original warning bells is like, it's a good time to sell some 2023 first.
Yeah.
And I do not regret not having many draft picks this year. Yeah. I do regret a couple of trades, like the players I got in return back. But I also I'm not sad that I'm not picking like 108. Like, what do you even do at 108? Like in a one QB draft, like who
after
the hell are you
taking?
You take LaPorta.
Yeah, and tight ends have been such a bad like fantasy investment with premium capital. Like it's so hard.
This was supposed to be the tight end like rookie tight end year, and then
because the dynasty position of tight ends is it needs an influx of young talent badly. Yeah. Like we need it. Like Hawkinson is like default the tight end too because he's like the only guy that's like not over 28 that's good.
Yeah.
Like everyone else that's like functional for fantasy is in their 30s already, or they're like 28 years old, like, you know, Andrews is.
Pete, who are some of your sleeper tight end dynasty plays?
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to take the three off the board with Laporta, I assume, is not a sleeper at this point.
Or you could do existing.
Ooh, existing. Well, one thing I will say,
who have you been drafting as your tight end twos?
I mean, I was taking a little bit of Darnell Washington and stuff like that, but that dream for year one is dead.
Oh, yeah.
But I was going to say to your point, Dave, about how bad of a class this is. One thing I've noticed, and you might want to attribute it to the rise of Superflex tight end premium, but every single mock draft you'll see is Superflex tight end premium because no one wants to do a one QB dynasty mock draft.
No one wants to put their name on Zach Charbonnet in the most dead situation ever at the 110.
Yeah. I guess if I had to do a sleeper one, it'd probably be one of the Green Bay tight ends, you know, Musgrave or Kraft. Just thinking that there's a pretty immediate path there to get on the field and do something.
Yeah.
I got a guy for you. For this class, Brenton Strange would be the guy. Obviously, Ingram's only got a one-year contract. He was in a terrible situation with Penn State. It was the same shit we did with Jahan Dotson 2 years ago. Like, Sean Clifford... I mean, how did he even get drafted? Someone took him with an NFL draft pick. Like,
it's amazing, which is like because Ron Rivera was talking about, you know, there's that quote that came up when he was talking about Jahan Dotson. They were like, look, he seems like a nice kid, but Jahan Dotson made Sean Clifford look a lot better.
Well, yeah, so I mean,
if you buy into Will Levis.
Yeah, so I think he's going to be a lot better pro than he was in college. And the draft capital, I think, kind of supports the Jaguars feel that way, too.
Yeah. This is why I traded Ingram to Davis. Someone asks about some of the tight ends. Where you got guys like Chig and Dulcich? Actually, both those guys are on my team already.
I mean, I was just really trying to get Dulcich away from Soccer Dave in these negotiations.
Have you heard
he might be the new Jimmy Graham?
He is
the number one Dulcich hater from a year ago.
It's called being Bayesian, Reeves. you gotta adjust your priors when the situation dictates.
This guy had to scrub his Twitter account of, he had to search Dolchik false flag and had to scrub 65 different tweets.
I bet they're all still there because I deleted all my tweets ever in June. So I bet they're all still there.
This up. Before we do, though, one last important question for the group. You got Chig Okonkwo. With the Titans. Titans
this
don't...
is the last important question involving Chig Okonkwo.
Yeah, okay. I might be biased, but you have the Titans that did not, they drafted zero defensive players and yet only one wide receiver for a team that needed wide receiver desperately. They drafted one in the seventh round, a local kid. So with that being said, how much Chig stock do you have, Reeves?
Oh, a ton. I drafted a ton of him last year. I was already sitting on it. We're already going to the bank, man.
Yeah.
He's another guy, if you watched him in college, was just kind of in like a system that wasn't favorable for him. And
yeah,
he was going to be a better pro, man. He's a great run out, man.
Pete, how much best ball do you have? And who are you pairing him with?
Chig last year was a great pick. Chig this year was an awful pick because he was going in like the 11th or 12th round and just that tier. From like, what is it, like tight end 12 or 13 to tight end 25 is all like the exact same guy. Yeah. So I get it. Chig's sexy. The draft broke nicely for him, but his price needs to come down a bit.
Okay. Davis?
Where am I at on Chig? I mean, he seems quite overpriced relative to like, I feel like his range of outcomes
are... Who are the Titans going to throw to?
They're not going to throw.
Generally, that's just bad... thought process to making a pick with a pass catcher is like, well, they got it. Like, you know, this is what leads to people taking 40% of Brashad Perryman. You know, it's like, you got it.
Brian Hartline's got to get 100 targets. Remember that one? That was, yeah. I'm too old.
There's been so many of these, right? Robert Woods. It's like, Robert Woods is probably going to get that this year. You know, CJ Stroud's got to throw to somebody.
And you do know I hate for redraft drafting guys on bad teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mechie too. I mean, he could be the guy that Stroud's throwing to.
But the Titans receiving core, oh my God. How is this allowed to happen?
It's Treylon Burks and then like NWI, the Nick Phillips if he comes back, and then who'd they sign from Houston? Chris Moore.
I've actually been drafting some Kyle Phillips.
Wow. Shocking admission here at the end of the
podcast. This is, that took some, I know this is a safe space for doing dumb things involving the Titans, but Reeves.
Well, at the end throwaway pick, he'll even be better on DraftKings. Get him on those DraftKings. Round 20, Kyle Phillips, man. Take that to the bank.
Even round 21 or 22, because there's two more rounds in there. is there, or no, it's 18 and 20. I forget. You'd think a best ball finalist would know this. Speaking of next Swolecast, I'm going to just announce it here. Next Swolecast will be my very first best ball draft. I'm not going to look at anything, no materials. We're just
you know what,
draft.
Dave? I believe you. You're not going to look at anything.
Yeah, you don't have to say that. Then I want to get in on it too because Lord knows I need to knock off a BBM4 draft.
Okay,
on stream
maybe it can be like a combined stream.
That's what I'm thinking. I think you and I both get in the same draft. Davis gets in. Whoever wants to get in, but we need to make sure all of us get in the same draft.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying that I'm giving you permission to maybe do a stream on your own show if you wanted to.
No, and I'm telling you that part of my 150 stream is on all the different – I have a playlist, and I'm keeping –
Oh, okay.
So Swolecast is very eligible, Dave.
Perfect. All right. Reebs, thanks so much for being on the show. Thank you for repping – Repping the brand, pockets
Reeves
on Swole.
Just like, dude, Reeves is such a superhero. Every time we need, he always comes through. He's never like, oh no, I can't make it. Always shows up. Lets Pete and I do bits for 10 minutes at a time if we need to. He's the perfect, six man off the bench for the Swolecast. He always does exactly
Reeves,
what he's
never about that clout. See, I love you. I'll take the six man of the year too, man.
Reeves is an honorary
member. I need to be MVP.
Yeah. And Reeves also is on the grind. He's always continuously grinding. Meanwhile, you got guys like JJ who takes a big vacation on one of the biggest fantasy football weeks that there is right afterwards.
Yeah. May 3rd, famously a huge fantasy
people want the takes, and JJ's
dude,
like, no.
JJ got his prospect guide done on Saturday night. He got his revised like rankings and for, profiles yeah. of all the guys drafted done yeah. on Saturday night. JJ Don't Robot. Tell me JJ, JJ is AI. Not grinding.
Yeah. He just works smarter, not yeah. harder than all of us. Which
yeah, that's
is,
AI.
He's doing
that's
it right.
What it is. He is a natural language learning model that has all of his stuff in there, and he just puts his model in and spits out all the facts. It's easy to do. Trust me. Okay, Reebs, what can we? Where can we find your stuff?
Yeah, all my stuff's at Sharp Football. My rookie rankings are up. They're all free. You can go through them. All my write-ups for all the rookies are up. You can check all that stuff out. I'll probably be going dormant here for like this dead period of the NFL to work on like the Sharp Football book that comes out in the summer. And then once we come up from that, we'll be downhill, man. Like it's yeah. gonna, you know, that once we get to like 4th of July, it's just. Just takes off, and we're not looking back, and we're like, well, where the hell the rest of the year go?
Babe, we'll put the Sharp Football book in the background once I have shelves.
On the casting couch?
Really.
You're just going to put it in the
scene for the porn. Yeah.
Does it still have my favorite part of the Sharp Football book, other than the actual analysis, is the logos. Does it still have the logos this year?
Yeah, the old it has like the throwback logos. Yeah, I think Warren loves those.
The alternate logos.
Yeah, he loves those. All right, some teams should use those.
Yeah, Davis, final thoughts.
You know, I just hope the clout comes my way. You put into the universe what you want to attract, and I need the clout in the form of a first place in a fantasy football best ball contest.
Peter.
I still think Davis in his heart of hearts would take the money above all. I do really think so. Yeah. I appreciate everyone tuning in. Dave, we're all looking forward to your next frozen treat video. I'm sure I speak for everyone when I say that.
Yeah, big things coming for sure there. I don't know where it will be, but it's definitely – Dessert Life has always been a staple of the Soccer Dave brand. And I used to have like a Dessert Life shirt, but I wore it so much that it wore the actual graphics off. So. Yeah, I think that will do it for today's show, though. Thanks to Sosa for producing this show, obviously, in the new office. We'll get some digs up. We'll fix the audio issues. I'm not sure if you can hear it. Someone was, like, drilling behind me the whole show, and it took all of my professionalism to keep it together.
Another casting couch reference?
No, just roll the clip. You gotta work on the button there, Sosa. That's a cut the show line.
Peace.